As we have stated ad nauseum, Advent is the season of waiting and expectation. And while these do not sound like physical acts, let me tell you, they are. Too often people just sit around and wait to have what they've been asking or praying for dropped into their lap. It's almost as if we're diners waiting for our entrees at a restaurant. In this time of me-first Christianity that we see so much, too many feel like blessings and favor and revelation should just come when we want them with little to no effort on our parts. But if you know your Bible, you know that's not how it works. There's always work on our part to get what we need from God. When David wanted answers, he physically fasted. When Moses needed guidance, he physically climbed Mount Sinai. And when Jacob wanted a blessing, he literally physically wrestled God to get that blessing. As Christians, we don't sit on our hands while we wait and expect. We move. Specifically, we move to meet God wherever God may be. The prophet Isaiah says this in the 55th chapter of the book, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." So today, on Christmas Day, we are invited to seek the Lord while he is near. And what better time than Advent? Because Advent is a celebration of Christ coming towards us. So allow me to add another adjective to our collective Advent consciousness. We are waiting, we are expecting, and we are seeking. So as Christ comes towards us, it's time we come towards him, which is exactly what those shepherds did long ago. The Gospel of Luke chapter 2 recalls the shepherds who were watching those flocks by night. They were simply in the fields doing life as usual when all of a sudden, boom, a divine message was relayed just to them. For my Advent Sunday School students, divine message, here we go. It's powerful in this time, in this season of Advent. An angel of the Lord appears to them and the glory of the Lord arrests and frightens them. The angel's message spoke of good news that would cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, just so you know that this is for you. This is the sign to confirm everything I've said. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And if that wasn't enough glory to behold for these shepherds in this field at night, Scripture says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The shepherds were told of this good news, this evangelion, and that it would be the source of joy for all people. But for this good news to be seen and actualized, the divine message and the good news had to be sought after, which means we have to move towards it. The good news is in Bethlehem, which means if they want to experience that great joy, they're going to have to seek it out. And that is true for us today on this Christmas day. What I want to leave you with, if we truly desire to experience Christ in our lives as closely as face to face in a powerful and transformative way, then we are going to have to do our part. We're going to have to seek Christ too, but not just any old way. No, no, no. Jeremiah chapter 29:13 reads, "You will seek me." This is God talking to the exiles who are living in Babylon. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Not some, not a portion of your heart, but all of your heart. We will never find Christ the way we should if our hearts are divided, plain and simple. A divided heart is a conflicted heart, and a conflicted heart will always choose self-preservation over sacrifice because simply that's just the easier road. It's easy to go half speed, but half speed only brings half rewards. If you ever participated in sports, if you ever been on a practice field and you were tired and your coach tells you to go full speed, but you're not looking. Well, he's not looking or she's not looking and you're not running full speed, but you're running half speed. And they turn around and say, "You're only cheating yourself," right? Because when you only go half speed, you only achieve half of the goal that you have for yourself. if we want to experience the good news in a spectacular and miraculous way, like I know some of you are, like I want to, if we want that great joy that comes from being in communion with Christ, then today we're going to have to renew our mission to go full out to find Christ. The shepherds didn't make a couple of stops on their way. They didn't hesitate, but they committed themselves 100% to the task of finding Jesus. When we seek half-heartedly, we miss out on all that God has for us. The shepherds go 100%. We must go 100% in our lives also. Half speed, again, gets you only half rewards. Think of all you've missed out on because instead of moving forward, you started and stopped and started and stopped. Think of the times that you had the opportunity to find Christ and you just weren't interested. Now, this is where I'm being honest. Some of y'all did not come to one Bible study this year. Some of y'all skipped out on Advent Sunday school. Some of y'all come in Sundays at 10:49 and you leave at 11:51. You don't interact with anyone, or you don't even take time to take the sermon in. You may think that these programs weren't worth your time, or your social calendar might have just been full. But the truth is, these were opportunities to seek Christ while he may be found, and too many of us simply just didn't. And that's not something that's only happening here. It happens everywhere. And then too many people wonder why they miss out on the glory of God and the fullness of life in Christ. The reality is Christ is there, waiting to be found, but sometimes life gets in the way. Again, a conflicted and a distracting heart will only get us half the reward, not the full reward. To seek Christ is to prioritize Christ. Let me say that again. To seek Christ is to prioritize Christ, which means that your schedule, your fatigue, your preference in teaching styles, and your preference in books are secondary to the encounter with the good news of Christ. How can Christ come into our lives in a new way when we're not even looking for him? 2 weeks ago, I said if we weren't expecting Christ in new ways, then we were doing Advent wrong. Well, if we aren't seeking new ways to encounter the Word made flesh, no matter how long we've been in church, we are not doing faith right. We're doing faith wrong. See, the shepherds prioritized finding this good news over their families, over their flocks, and over everything else they had going on. Now, these are real people, real men, entrepreneurs, and they dropped everything to find Jesus. What an inspiration for us today. They journeyed a far distance, not even knowing what they would encounter. But they were fueled by faith, fueled by that angelic encounter that stayed on their hearts and minds with each unknown step into an uncertain future. And that faith was rewarded when they saw the sign that the angel told them that they would see. That they would see the reward for their journey, for their seeking. They saw God face to face. In the bright eyes of a baby, they beheld the glory. And scripture says that they praised and glorified God because the divine message that they were given came to fruition. And that's a message for us. What would you do to have that kind of joy in your life, the joy that the shepherds had when that divine message came to fruition? They praised and they worshiped according to scripture. What would you do for that kind of joy right now, that overwhelming, amazing elation that comes only from being close to Christ? That's a life that's drama-free and fun. It's a life where your relationships are bountiful and beautiful and authentic, where you are loved and respected and affirmed for who you are. And that's just a sliver of the life-changing joy that the shepherds experienced. It's a sliver of what's available to us. And that's the Christmas miracle, that God came down to earth, that God took on humanity, that God would offer us joy in this life. An eternal joy in the life to come, that this little baby would show us how to live and how to love and how to thrive, not just survive, but thrive in a world where there's so much strife around us. The Christmas miracle is that we would be saved from our worst impulses and character flaws and be able to live in the Spirit and live in truth if we want it, that we would be loved for who we are and not what anyone else thinks we are. That's a gift that doesn't come in wrapping paper. It came wrapped in flesh and in swaddling clothes. It's a gift. The Christmas gift is a gift that can never be earned or repaid. So we sit here in awe and thanks for a God that was so loving to us. The point of the sermon today is simply that the birth of the baby Jesus ushers in a new way of living. It ushered a new way of living back then, just as it does now. See, back then, Jesus offers the Jewish people teachings, sober teachings and supernatural teachings about the way that Jews should live and love one another. In the series of teachings that scholars now call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus directly challenges every teaching that the Jews had long held, and he held their hand as he tried to teach them that path to eternal life. The reality is some of the listeners went half speed and got half rewards. Some of them pretended that they were for Christ, but their actions were far from him. Some accepted the good news of Christ and they actually changed their lives for the better. Jesus coming down from heaven made life worth living for the ancient Jews then. And as we celebrate Christmas 2,000 years later, it still makes life worth living. The coming of Christ, the birth of Christ, makes everything we deal with on earth worth it. The commemoration of the birth of Jesus for us today compels us to usher in a new way of living also. Celebrating Jesus' birth today virtually as a family offers us the ability to find new ways of being as individuals and a collective. We are finding a new way to find Jesus and to worship Jesus on Christmas. Did you think 5 years ago that you would be having Christmas service virtually in your home by your fireplace? Probably not. But the birth of Jesus allows us to look at all the things that we think, we believe, we do, and challenges us to rethink them and challenges us to live from our growing edges towards a better future. It allows us to seek him physically and to find Christ in unexpected places, just like the manger. What do I mean by this? Now, the manger wasn't a place that most people would think that they would find Christ, which means if we're thinking like God, then church might be not the best place to find Christ, but probably one of the worst places to find Christ. What does Richard mean? I mean the lunchroom, the break room, the exit off the expressway, in someone else's home. All of those places are improbable as the manger. And yet exactly might be the places where we find Christ the best. The disciples asked Jesus in Matthew 25, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger needing clothes or a sick or needy person or a person in prison and did not help them? And Jesus says the famous line, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. So as we think about finding Jesus in unexpected places, just like the manger, think of all the places that are foreign to you. Now, I've seen many of your Facebook pages, and I've listened to many of your stories, and I know that most of you probably don't interact with people that different from yourselves. And that has to change, because what if the places that you don't think that you're going to go is exactly where Christ is leading you to? The shepherds never experienced to find a baby in a manger, but they came face to face with Christ there. Maybe the gas station is where you find Christ, or maybe in conversation with somebody at a restaurant. The reality is we have to be open-minded and open-hearted to be able to know that the next step on our journey or the missing piece of the puzzle of our journey may lay in an unexpected place. In Advent Sunday School, we did a scavenger hunt. We found places around the church to find our journeys and to find just a hint of a divine message. What if that divine message is a place that you would probably not expect, a place out of your comfort zone? The reality is, if we want all that God has for us, and I know that we do, because I talk to you, I know you want it all, I want it all, it may lay in those, it probably will lay in those unexpected places. So as we celebrate Christmas, the gift that keeps on giving, I pray that we are compelled and we're convicted by this gift to find ourselves in unexpected places to do the work of ministry. So my prayer, once again, is that you don't go half speed this year. Again, half speed, half rewards. We should all seek deeper relationship with Christ. Every year we get closer to a greater understanding of what Christmas actually truly means and the work that it took for Jesus to do this salvific work. So my prayer simply, family, is that we seek the Lord while he may be found, that we prioritize Christ over our own desires, that we physically seek new ways, new pathways to find Christ in those unexpected places. I want to hear that you guys had a conversation with somebody you were afraid of, and they ended up telling you something you exactly needed to hear. I need you to tell me that you had prayer and that you worshiped in the most unexpected place in 2023. That in your dorm room or in your classroom, or that in the back seat of your car or the front seat of your car, that you got together with somebody and you held hands or you joined hearts. In that present moment when two were gathered, that three were truly there because Christ was in the midst. That's the gift. It's a gift that leads to other people being blessed. That's the beauty of Christmas today. So my prayer also is that you have Christ in mind today, and that in the hustle and bustle of gifts and family time or friend time or even time watching 11 straight hours of the NBA, which I probably will be doing for most of Christmas when I'm not traveling, is to just spend time thinking about Christ. If we are going to do things differently, if we're going to prioritize Christ, if we're going to seek Christ, we need to spend time with Christ. And today is a perfect day to do that. So, Merry Christmas to you all. Happy birthday, Jesus. I pray that this year is our greatest year yet. God bless you.